You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. By my side, producer and co-host, Chris Corso. We have a short and informal Wobcast for you today. We are here to process and to help you process the Vikings' loss in the NFC title game, and we hope it's therapeutic. We'll be back next week to wrap up the Pro Bowl, talk Super Bowl, preview the offseason, have a more formal Wobcast with sound and maybe a guest, but right now we just want to talk this out, right?
We just figured it was a good day to come in here a few days removed from Philadelphia and talk it out. That's
from
it.
A crushing loss to the Eagles. I mean, an inexplicable rundown of events in Philadelphia that we need to just talk this through. You know, it's good to talk. You know, like, you don't want to keep these feelings bottled up. You don't want them to mount inside of you and eventually explode and you do things that you regret. You need to talk these things out.
Speaking of
the Pro Bowl, we've got several guys there now.
That's right. We do.
Let's see. Linval.
Xavier Rhodes.
Xavier. Harry.
Kyle Rudolph.
Rudy.
Adam Thielen.
Thielen.
That's a pretty good crew. We're missing Everson Griffin as well.
Oh, he's there. Okay. So we got a lot of guys there. Now, we don't want to be there because we'd rather be getting ready for the Super Bowl. But since we're not doing that, we have such a good team that we got a bunch of them in Orlando. So since we have so many of our players playing in the Pro Bowl, we did send a crew from the Vikings Entertainment Network down to Orlando to cover the Pro Bowl. So lots of good stuff coming this week, right?
That's right. There will be a lot of content on the website this week from those guys down in Orlando and on social media as well. So keep an eye out for that.
All right. So we shouldn't be at the Pro Bowl, but we are. And we are because we lost to Philadelphia in the NFC title game. So what happened, man? I mean, I've been summing it up in email form to people. I mean, emails just pouring into my inbox this week.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And basically, to summarize, it was an uncanny, uncharacteristic performance by the Vikings at the most inopportune time of the season.
It's crazy because thinking back on the year, there weren't many games where we trailed by more than one possession this year. One of those games was at Pittsburgh, and that was the first game where Case Keenum was told he was going to have to start just a few hours before the game. So that's understandable in that game. But this game, you had everybody ready to go. Everybody seemed like they were very well prepared. And for that to go down the way it did, I think it's a mix of that fan base. That fan base. I can't even tell you. I had family there at the game myself, and I told them, I said, don't wear Vikings gear because
it's, you know what? I helped people get to the game, you know, friends and family.
Yep.
And honestly, it's embarrassing, I think, for anyone in the NFL who had people watching that game or had guests there. I mean, it's embarrassing that people retreated that way.
It really is for people to be fearing for their safety. And obviously all the videos that are going across the internet of the things that were going on after the game as well.
Yeah.
But Philadelphia.
It's an embarrassment on the city of Philadelphia, on the Eagles organization, and on the NFL that happened.
Agreed.
They should be embarrassed.
I totally agree. And growing up, with the New York-Boston rivalry, it was always Boston's trash and this and that. These guys take it to another level.
Yeah, I mean, people can say it's sour grapes or whatever. We lost to them, so we have a problem with it. That's fine, and maybe that's factoring in. But that is that was embarrassing, especially because there are some people I helped get to the game who haven't been to a ton of games or any games, and they go there, and that's what they think it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I think, like I said, the fans were a big, big, big part of this game. I hate to say it, but that home field advantage is real. Not in the right ways, but they definitely had the fans into the game pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
We score that first touchdown, and you think that we're going to go on a roll. And once they had that pick six where Keenum made a tough throw there, and he obviously took it to the house. That's when the fans just took over.
Yeah, so. And we didn't respond well after the pick six. We didn't execute well at the end of the first half. We gave up a touchdown drive to start the third quarter, and basically the game was over right there. I mean, 31-7, and all the air was let out of the Vikings' sails, I think, at that time. And this team has responded so well to adversity under Mike Zimmer, and especially this year. And to see them not have a great response after the pick six was just a little odd.
Shocking.
Yeah, it was a little odd.
I mean, I figured we go into the half, it's 24-7, I believe. And, yeah, you figure that they're going to go for a run and at least make it a game, because that's all they've done all season. I mean, to have such a spectacular regular season, and then you figure that there's a chance. But, no, it just wasn't happening. So that's all you could say. I don't have an explanation for seeing number 22 behind their receivers. I have never seen Harrison Smith not in the right spot since I've been here for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
So to see that was like, oh, my God, like, what is going on today?
Yeah, I mean, and so lost in all this, I think, are two things. Number one, the Eagles played really well.
Played very well.
They had a great game plan. Their crowd was into it and helped them, just like U.S. Bank Stadium helps us. And they executed really well, and they played really well, and they took advantage of lots of opportunities, whether it was mistakes by us or big play opportunities for them. That they took advantage of all of them, and you just got to give their players and coaches credit. I mean, they played great. I mean, I don't think there's a team in the league that would have won that game how they played.
That's exactly what I said. I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
What did you think about their play calls, especially on offense? Because very uncharacteristic of the way that we expected that they were going to play.
Right, because we expected big, powerful running game, drain the clock, and dink and dunk and try and move the chains, right?
So talk about kind of some of the plays they pulled.
Nick Foles, I mean, flea flickers, double moves, like deep passes to Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, and
he looked like Joe Montana out there with a lot of the plays. There was a play where Trey Waynes was lulled to sleep kind of by the flea flicker where the wide receiver was running up the line. It was Torrey Smith slowed down, and then Trey kind of slowed down with him, and then he just took off, and obviously he was open. But
the Alshon Jeffrey long pass happened when Xavier was out of the game. We couldn't close on a four-man pass rush, and Jeffrey got loose, so just very strange. The second thing, though, that got lost here is there's a lot about which to be proud for the Vikings.
Absolutely.
This is a team that started the season 2-2, lost Bradford and Cook, and from that point on, they went 11-1.
I have to say, I'll never forget that game against the Detroit Lions. We lose 14-7 at home, which was I couldn't even believe it. And we're 2-2. We lose our star running back, Dalvin Cook. We obviously have Case Keenum at the time. And I went home and I said, this is going to be a rough season.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were going to be, I mean, we had so many high expectations. And I said, wow, this is not going to be the season we expected. And it was absolutely
better than we expected.
And the like complete opposite of what I thought that night.
Yeah.
And we went on an 11-1 run with a 9-game winning streak in that period. I mean, who would have thought that Case Keenum would be the NFC Offensive Player of the Month for the Vikings, and Everson Griffin with he led the league in sacks for how many months at the beginning of the year. So many good things to highlight this season.
Yep, memorable wins. Two wins over Green Bay, including the shutout at Lambeau Field. A win in London over the Browns, so that was a cool experience for the organization. And then, of course, the Minneapolis Miracle over the Saints in the divisional round. A young team with a window that's wide open, I think, is an important point here. You know, one thing that is a little odd, though, is to be such a good team and not know who your quarterback's going to be next year. Isn't that kind of weird?
I mean,
it's not. There's nothing wrong with it. Yep. It's just not something you always see.
Zimmer was asked, "Is this a very unique situation for a 13-3 team?" And he said, "Yeah, yeah. It is. It definitely is." He said yesterday in his press conference, and they're not in a normal situation. We had two quarterbacks go down in the past 2 years, and one that played out of his mind this past season. So, no, that is not a normal situation.
So it'll be a fun offseason. Lots of stuff to do. The to-do list is long, but it starts at a really good spot, and that is a 13-3 team that won its division and advanced to the conference championship game. That's a good base. Got your best player on offense coming back, Dalvin Cook. So, there's lots to look forward to here for this Vikings squad, and we're going to get into the offseason schedule and the to-do list in our next edition of the Wobcast. But for today, we just kind of wanted to talk this thing through. Anything else we need to get off our chests?
I think I would just say for Vikings fans, there is so much to look forward to.
Yep.
Dalvin Cook was, I mean, so positive in the locker room the other day on his future. Mike Zimmer's positive on his future. So just to think about what's just going forward, all the positives we have more than negatives. A lot of young players, as you said, on defense that are only getting better.
Yep.
And a lot of young players on offense that are only getting better, and our wide receivers and obviously our running back. And we'll see what happens at quarterback.
That's so right. It's going to be fun.
It's all good. And we are not going to lose many games at home at US Bank Stadium going forward. So
yeah.
I think it's all good here.
Yeah, man, it is all good. Lots to get to. I mean, we'll talk about our opponents and our schedule. We'll talk about the draft. Senior Bowl is going on right now. Pro Bowl is going on right now. We're going to the Combine in February. Pro Day circuit. Free agency. Moving into a new facility. Like, just so, I mean, hosting the Super Bowl. So much stuff coming up here in the coming weeks and months. And we'll talk about all of it on the Wobcast and all of our other content platforms within the Vikings Entertainment Network. So lots to come here. Make sure you stay tuned for all of that. In the immediate future on Vikings.com, make sure you check out some Pro Bowl content, because that will be flowing starting later today and especially once we get into tomorrow. So that's it for now. On behalf of Wobcast co-host and producer Chris Corso, I am your host, Mike Wobshaw, signing off for now. Have a good rest of the week, everyone. Talk to you next week.